Join us as we open the Word of God to get more deeply grounded and learn about the abundant life available to all through our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Text this morning, working my way, teaching through the book of 1 Thessalonians. And this passage still is connected to the previous passage last week when we talked about the emotions of ministry. So that follows right on that. But since it was involving prayer, I thought, let me just separate the two and speak on prayer as a separate topic. So let's read our text. As we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith, now may God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. This is one of Paul's prayers for a church, this particular church in Thessalonica. And it's a great prayer. It's so spiritual. He doesn't mention Aunt Bertha's ingrown toenail in this prayer. Now, it's okay to pray for Aunt Bertha. She needs our prayers too. But he's focusing on spiritual needs and saying, that's what we're praying for, spiritual needs. But I must say that any prayer is good for any topic. I especially love children's prayers. Listen to a couple children's prayers here that I think are kind of cute. One little boy prayed, "Dear God, please take care of my daddy and mommy and my sister and brother and my doggy and me. Oh, please take care of yourself, God. If anything would happen to you, we're in big trouble." That's cute, isn't it? Johnny had been misbehaving and was sent to his room. After a while, he emerged and informed his mother that he thought it over and then said a prayer. "Fine," said the pleased mother. "If you ask God to help you not misbehave, he will help you." "Oh, I didn't ask him to help me not misbehave. I asked him to help you put up with me." And last one here. A woman invited some people to dinner. At the table, she turned to her six-year-old daughter and said, "Would you like to say the blessing?" "I wouldn't know what to say," the little girl replied. "Well, just say what you hear mommy say." The little girl bowed her head and said, "Dear Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people over for dinner?" Yeah. Our son Kyle, when he was 5 years old, he wanted to pray for his mommy and daddy because we had colds. So he started praying for us. And then he started praying for his big brother, Philip. But in mid-sentence of his prayer, he stopped praying and said, "Does Philip have a cold?" And we said, "No, Philip doesn't have a cold." So he closed his eyes and he said, "And God, please don't heal Philip's cold." Children's prayers, they're precious. Prayer is more important than we realize. Someone said, "More things are wrought by prayer than the world dreams." Paul is praying here for the Thessalonians because he cares for them like a mother or a father, as he said last week. He couldn't be with them, but he could stay connected with them by prayer. So what is prayer to you? Is prayer like going to the dentist? You know you have to go a couple times a year, so you'll do it. Maybe you pray in crisis times, or maybe it's at mealtime and bedtime, and that's pretty much when you pray. And so prayer has kind of become routine and rote to you. Maybe it feels like prayer is talking to the ceiling. It seems like a waste of time. I hope not. Maybe prayer for you is the heavenly slot machine. If you pull the lever just right, you'll get what you want. Or is it communication with a friend that you're in relationship with? So we see that who we pray to is more important than what we pray for. We need to pray. And we need others to pray for us. Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. "And also for me," Paul is talking about prayer in verse 18, "and also for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Paul is saying, my Success in preaching depends on you and your prayers. And if Paul needed it, I certainly do. I ask that you be praying for me. I have felt very distracted lately because of pain, so I need your prayer. 1 Samuel 12:23 says, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, and I will instruct you in the good and right way." I need to be praying for you as well. And I'm so thankful that I have a praying wife to help me. So how should we pray for one another? Paul shows us in these four verses. First thing is to pray frequently. Pray frequently. In verse 10, he says, "Night and day we prayed for you." Let me read two other verses. Luke 18:1. "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." Ephesians 6:18, "Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." Praying all the time. David prayed in the Psalms in the morning, at noontime, and in the evening. Set times. It's good to have set times of prayer. And it's okay to use a list, a prayer list. Some people may think that's not very spiritual, but prayer lists help you stay focused on what you need to pray for. And it's good to do flash prayers. If you've not heard of flash prayers, that's where you see someone or hear of something or some situation, and immediately you cast a prayer up to God for it. Prayer is a mindset, continually depending on God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray continually. Dial up God and don't hang up the phone." You may want to try this prayer exercise. It's called the first 2 minutes, where you wake up and you pray for 2 minutes. You get in your car to go to work, and as you're sitting there in the car before you leave the driveway, you pray for 2 minutes. You arrive at work before you go in, you pray for 2 minutes. You come home, you pull in the driveway, you're about to walk into your family situation, you pray for 2 minutes. You go to bed, and you pray for 2 minutes. The 2-minute prayer. Another prayer exercise, which is actually exercise, is prayer walking. I've been doing this for years. I take my prayer list, or I have it pretty much in my mind, and I walk. I'm getting some exercise. I'm not having the distractions of the phone or people, and I'm out there in nature, and I'm walking and praying. It's been a great way to start my day. Second thing Paul teaches us is to pray earnestly. We also see that in verse 10. He says, "most earnestly." It's a double compound Greek word, which is a very intense word. Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us." Abundantly more. I picture in my mind the basketball player, the type of player who dives on the floor for all the loose balls and his elbows and knees are all skinned up. He's very intense and means business about playing basketball. I think of Jacob, who wrestled with the angel of the Lord until he blessed him. And John Wimber, writing about Jacob's wrestling with the angel of the Lord, said, "We need to roll around in the mud with God." That's passionate praying. Martin Luther said, "Prayer should be short, frequent, and intense." I would say some of us pray like we're bored. And if we really don't care about the issue or the matter, why should God? Here's a prayer exercise. You could try praying out loud. Now, if you're in public when you do that, some people might think you're weird, but that's okay. It's a great thing to do in the car, praying out loud. People will just imagine you're praying along with the radio. You know, they think you're singing a song. You could pray through the Psalms, which are prayers. I find David to be a very intense prayer warrior. You could read the Psalms and incorporate that into your prayers. It will help you add emotion to your praying. Thirdly, pray specifically. Verse 10, that I might see you face to face and supply what is lacking. Paul asked a specific prayer there, did he not? That I would see you. That's specific. Satan had been hindering him. Now, when we pray specifically, we're not telling God what to do, but we are asking him boldly to act. And we don't need to apologize for that. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We are confident when we approach God's throne. I don't think prayer is trying to talk God into what we want. Actually, I think it's showing dependency upon him when we pray. When you pray, it shows that you're humble and needy. Be specific. I always like this example from a Reverend Cho who pastored a large church in South Korea. Koreans ride bikes, so bikes are very important. So when he was a young man, he prayed for a bike, but no bike came. And he got frustrated and mad at God. He said, Lord, a bike may be a small thing in your eyes, but it's pretty important to me. Why haven't you answered my prayer? And he felt the Lord speak back to him and said, you didn't tell me what type of bike you wanted. Pray specifically. Not, oh Lord, would you please bless me prayers. Specific prayers is what Paul is saying here. Four ways to pray specifically from this passage. Pray for God to remove obstacles. We have a big obstacle in Virginia with the General Assembly, don't we? Pray that God would remove those. In verse 11, he says that he would direct our way to you. There's a roadblock that Paul has not been able to see the Thessalonians. And sometimes God allows roadblocks, so we will keep persisting in prayer. But sometimes it's Satan. Satan is the one who's created this roadblock to keep us from fulfilling our purpose and God's plan for us. So prayer clears the way. It clears the way for revival. It clears the way for salvation of that lost loved one. It clears the way for a job to open up that God has for us. So keep praying bulldozer prayers. Just keep plowing the way, Lord. Matthew 7:7-8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. But you see that each one of those is a more intense step. Merely asking, and then seeking. You're going everywhere to seek, and then you're knocking on every door. Matthew 12:29, or how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then indeed he may plunder his house. So don't quit. Bulldozer prayers, folks. Remove those obstacles, Lord. Second one is to pray for God to increase love. That's a specific prayer we can pray. Increase our love. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. You see, knowledge without love gives you a fat head. That's my paraphrase of that verse. I want us to love others more than anything else. So we pray specifically, Lord, increase our love here for one another. May it abound and overflow. God, may your love pour out of you and out of us to everyone. Most of the time, our prayers are for ourselves and our loved ones. I'm reminded of Janis Joplin's prayer. Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? So we pray for each other and everyone else, Paul says, that we have a heart for the church, God's people, and the world, a heart for the lost. A third thing that we can pray specifically for is pray for believers to grow. That's a good spiritual prayer. Verse 13, that God would establish their hearts. Think about your heart this morning, the physical heart, as a muscle. You exercise and it grows stronger. Resistance strengthens muscles. Hard work strengthens muscles. So spiritual exercise is having problems. That resistance from the problems strengthens our heart. It causes our spiritual muscles to grow as you pray. So we pray for others and ourselves that our faith would grow through our problems. That our problems wouldn't just defeat us and discourage us, but it would be the means that God is using to strengthen us spiritually. Fourthly, pray with the ultimate end in mind. Also verse 13, that you be blameless in holiness before our God. That's our purpose on this earth, is not to be happy, but to be holy. We would be a bride without spot or wrinkle ready for his coming. Galatians 4:19, Paul says, my little children, for whom I am in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Romans 8:29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. That we would be holy like Jesus, ready for his coming, looking forward for his coming, having heaven on our minds, which is closer, by the way, than it was yesterday. Lord, give us an eternal perspective in our daily discipline. We're not going to give up. We're going to keep praying until you come back. I think if we really possessed a Christian worldview, we would pray more. So keep on praying. Let me close with this quote about what we can pray for. Lord, I want things to change, really change in my prayer life. I pray from time to time. I want to learn to pray all the time. Teach me to pray. I pray casually. I want to learn to pray earnestly. Teach me to pray. I pray for a change in my circumstances, but forget to pray for a change in my character. I pray for my needs to be met, but forget to pray for my love to increase. My prayers often stretch no further than the moment when they should stretch to eternity. Lord, teach me to pray. Keep praying, folks. Let's do that. Lord, thank you now that for this prayer of the Apostle Paul in the letter to the Thessalonian church. There's a lot of there, just in those four verses that we could unpack and meditate upon and put into practice. Lord, teach us to pray spiritual prayers that move heaven and earth, and to not give up, to not lose heart, but to keep praying, praying for this General Assembly amendment to the state constitution, to pray against that, that would fail. But we know we also can act, not just sit on the couch, but also to vote. That's something we can tangibly do. We have the freedom and the rights as Americans to vote. Let us use that freedom, that privilege, that honor to make a difference for better in our state. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's stand.
Thank you for listening today. I hope this helped you experience Jesus more deeply.